This morning's reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 21 to 14. Jesus presented in the temple. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Happy New Year to you. Well, a new year. A new day? What's the most important question on everybody's lips? What socks has he got on? Yes, I know. I tossed up this morning, do I wear my Epiphany socks or do I wear Happy New Year socks? Such a difficult, I talked to Sue about it and came down, well, I went for the garish Happy New Year socks. So, what have we got to look at today? In these days of immediate self-gratification, we don't like waiting, do we? Everything has to be on tap and available immediately, now. We are so fortunate we can have everything we need just on the doorstep. We have shops nearby. Our gas, electricity, and water are supplied directly into our homes to keep us clean and warm and healthy. We can get food and stuff delivered to our door thanks to the wonders of online shopping. You can even get something delivered to you within just a few minutes if you say run out of something important like toilet rolls. No, we don't like waiting, do we? We don't like waiting for exam results, results of health tests, perhaps even for someone to speak to you each day. What don't you like to wait for? Come on, shout out to me. What do you not like waiting for?
Supper.
That'll do. Anything else?
To win a match.
To win a match, yes. The end of this sermon. No, perhaps not. And maybe we're all waiting for the end of this COVID pandemic to end and for normality to return. And to be able to sing in church without a wretched mask on. Anna and Simeon in our reading today, they were used to waiting. They had been waiting for years, patiently attending the temple each day, waiting and wondering, waiting and wondering. But let's go back a bit, shall we? Why was the Holy Family at the temple? Well, there are three main reasons, really. Firstly, after the birth of a child, the mother was ritually unclean for 7 days and then had to stay home for a further 33 days. Then on the 40th day, she should attend the temple and offer a lamb as a burnt offering and a dove or pigeon as a sin offering. For poor people who could not afford a lamb, the parents could bring a second dove or a pigeon. Secondly, the firstborn child had to be redeemed. It was thought that all firstborn children were considered holy or consecrated to God, so had to be redeemed by the payment of 5 shekels when they were 1 month old. Thirdly, there was the desire from Mary to have her child dedicated to God. This echoes back to Samuel, who was given back to God by her mum Hannah. All these things were done in accordance with the law, showing that Jesus was not above the law, but came to fulfill it. Simeon had been told by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he saw the Lord's Christ or the Messiah. He is described as being righteous and devout. Now, I suspect he was righteous and devout before God spoke to him, and it was because of this that he was chosen for this special task. Anna, it says, was a prophetess. This indicates that she was unusually close to God and was able to speak God's word, proclaiming his truth. She was very old. Now, we heard that she was 84, but it could be that she had been widowed for 84 years, which would have made her really old. So, Anna and Simeon were waiting. When would the Messiah arrive? Will it be today? Or tomorrow? Or next week? Waiting and wondering. There's a story of a Christian family who went to spring harvest, and the children were being taught about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And after the teaching session, they were asked if they wanted to receive prayer for a particular fruit that they felt would be needed in their lives. And there were different prayer stations for each of these fruit. And this little boy later told his dad that he felt that he needed more patience. So he went and queued up in that line. But after waiting a while, he got bored and went to self-control instead. Maybe we're like that, too caught up in the fast-paced society in which we live, that we don't sit back, take stock, and wait for things to happen, to see where God is leading us, to see what God has to say to us. Everything is a blur of activity and busyness. But if we get too laid back and too rested, we fail to see important things about us. So it's a real balance we have to have in our lives. Simeon had faithfully waited, but now he saw and believed that the promise God had made to him had come true. But for Simeon, wasn't it a bit sort of bittersweet? We hear in the reading, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, now you dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel." Simeon here has seen the promised king, but now he realizes that he has fulfilled that promise that God gave him, and that he can now die in peace. Yet he gives praise to God. And he goes on to tell Mary and Joseph that their son was a gift from God, that he was the Messiah, and that he would be a light to the whole world. Now, how do we think Mary and Joseph reacted to that? Wow? How would we react to someone saying that our lives, the lives of our children, were so special that God had given them a really exceptional gift? How would we react? And don't forget, this is the second time we know of that Mary has heard similar things about her son. Less than a year earlier, Elizabeth prophesied the same when Mary went to visit her before Jesus was born. The message is clear that Jesus has come to save both Jews and Gentiles. Also, that there would be conflict, and some would accept him and others would reject him. And that Mary would see and experience all of this, which would, as we've read, pierce her soul. Anna's words are not quoted like Simeon's, probably because she was a woman. However, she was honored as a prophet, and her proclamation that Jesus would be the redemption of Jerusalem would have been understood by those around her. Mary and Joseph were amazed at what she said. How could they have understood the full ramifications of these prophecies, though? We've heard over the Christmas services the words from Scripture that Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. She remembers all these things. I'm hopeless at remembering things. Sue will quote me things that happened years ago, and I'll say, no. I don't know if it's a man-woman thing, but Mary, we read, pondered all these things in her heart. She knew that she would have to wait to see if these prophecies would come true. She knew she had to wait and wonder, wait and wonder. Seeing her son grow, seeing her son go into the temple when he was just a lad and talk to the Pharisees and all the learned teachers in the temple, the way he held himself as a carpenter as he grew up, the prestige that he didn't have as a carpenter, and yet she knew he was special. So who else were watching and wondering? Well, they weren't so much wondering so much as getting a move on. It's Epiphany this week on the 6th. The wise men were watching the skies They were watching for something extraordinary. They were looking at the stars and how they moved, and they saw something amazing, something special, something that got them up and out of their comfort zone. And they followed the star. They saw and followed something extraordinary, not knowing what was going to be at the end of it. They were watching and they took action. We sit here this morning at the beginning of a new year. Are we full of expectation, of hope, and of goodwill to all? Or are we feeling anxious, uncertain, and pensive? When the angel appeared to Mary, he said, "Do not be afraid." I suspect that we all have an element of fear in our approach to the COVID world in which we live. But we must not be afraid. We must reflect on the words of Scripture to put our hope and trust in Him. Watching, waiting, wondering. Watching, waiting, and wondering is something that is reflected in our next song. The words of that song are, "We are watching, we are waiting, we are hoping, we are praying, we're believing, let your kingdom come." What wonderful words those are. And when we sing them in just a few moments, let's really take those into our hearts and believe them for this year ahead. We're watching, we're waiting, we're hoping, we're praying, we're believing. Let your kingdom come into our hearts, into our church, into our community, into our country. The last line of verse 3 reads, "Wake our hearts and let your kingdom come." Can our hearts be awoken to God's purposes for us this year? Can we let Him really have an impact in 2022 in our hearts, in our lives, in our church, in our community? Do we believe that? Can we believe it? We must believe it. So let us wait upon God, allowing Him to minister to our uncertainties and worries. Let us remember that we are God's army and His angels surround us. He is the Lord of all. Let us not forget His promises to us. Let's enter this new year with the hope of Jesus strengthening us for all that He has in store for us individually, as a church, and in this community. To Him be the glory forever. Amen.